Well, welcome to our all-age service here at Trinity. There are a few people in the building here, but most people online. Welcome to you this morning, whoever you are. Maybe you're tuning in for the very first time. A very warm welcome to you this morning and a welcome to regulars. This is an all-age service, and this is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent, when we remember the two comings of Christ. Easy to remember the first coming, when the Lord Jesus came to be born as a human being, a little baby. But one day he's going to return in glory to judge the living and the dead. So I'm going to begin with a prayer, and then we will lead into our service. Let's pray together. A prayer for Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, so that on the last day, when he will come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life eternal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," and there's a word in the last verse which we don't use today, the potentate, which means the most powerful ruler, the one who's in complete control of time. Let's sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." We're going to pray now, humbling ourselves before God and confessing our sin, admitting that we've turned away from him, we've broken his laws, we have not loved him as we should have done. We're going to begin with a verse. I'm going to say the first part, and if you'd like to respond with the second part, and then we will pray together the prayer that's on the service sheet and will come up on the screen. The bit that I will say contains a warning, a reminder about who we are, and then the second part contains a wonderful promise about God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what he will do. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, for our service this morning, we're in a book of the Bible called Nehemiah. And we know, don't we, that although the Bible is made up of lots and lots of books, it tells one big story. And to help us find out more about this one big story, we're setting you a challenge. So on Friday, Kate sent all of the people on our church mailing list some pictures of that big story of the Bible, but those pictures were all mixed up, and we want to see if you can get them in the right order to tell that big story. So, if you didn't get those pictures or you haven't managed to print them out, don't worry, because we're going to show them on a slide in a second, and we're going to give you just 2 minutes in your homes to try and put those pictures in order from start to finish to see if you can work out the big story of the Bible. So, let's have a look at those pictures. And your 2 minutes starts now. Off you go. You've had 1 minute already, so you've only got 1 minute left. It is quite a difficult challenge. Your last 20 seconds, and your time is up. Okay, well, I hope you managed to get on well with putting those pictures in order to tell that big story of the Bible. It's really important that we understand the big story of the Bible, because in order to understand any part of the Bible, we need to know where it fits into that big story. Now, we're going to see how well you did. The way we're going to do this, we're going to listen to, and you can join in if you know it, a new song which tells that big story. It's called God's People in God's Place, and it tells all of those key big events and characters that we've seen pictures of, and reminds us that God's big plan was for his people to be in his place, enjoying his blessing. So as we sing this song, have a look at those pictures and see if you managed to get them in the right order. And at the end, we'll have a look and see how you did. So let's sing together, God's People in God's Place. Brilliant. Well, I hope you all enjoyed singing that and managed to sort out your pictures if you hadn't quite got them all in the right order. We're now going to show you what the right order is and see if we can see how that tells us the big story of the Bible. So let's take a look at those pictures together now in the right order this time. Brilliant. So you can see, we heard in the song, didn't we, that God's big plan is for his people to be in his place under his blessing. And that is exactly where things started. So things started with Adam and Eve in the place that God had made for them, enjoying life with God. But things went horribly wrong. They disobeyed God and they chose to go their own way. And God sent punishment, judgment on the whole world in a flood. But he rescued one family, Noah, and the rest of his family, and saved them through the ark. And then God made those promises to Abraham. The promises were that God's people would be in God's place under God's blessing. And God promised those things to Abraham, and the people grew and grew and grew, but they weren't yet in God's place. They're in the land of Egypt. So God sent them Moses. You can see him there with the burning bush. God sent Moses to rescue them from the place where they shouldn't be, to take them to the place where they should be. And then Joshua was the one who led them into the land. And God then provided judges, people to rule over his people, to tell them how to keep obeying God. But God's people kept not listening. They kept disobeying God and going their own way. And God sent judge after judge, but things kept going wrong. So God sent a king, King David, who rescued God's people from Goliath. You can see him there. And he was a king that was a king after God's own heart. And he had a son, Solomon. And for a time, things looked great. God's people were finally in the land under God's blessing. But Solomon didn't always listen to God. He also went his own way. And things from then went horribly, horribly wrong. The people all got split up. They got thrown and out of the land. They got taken to new lands. And they were no longer experiencing God's blessing. But God promised that they would one day. And one day, the people started to come back to the land in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, who we'll hear more about later. And ultimately, God sent Jesus to be the one who would take all of God's people to his land so that we would be together knowing his blessing. That is the big story of the Bible in just a few minutes. Now, I'm going to hand over, I think, to David. Oh, sorry, to the Bible reading. We've got a Bible reading now. Brilliant. Not handing over to David. So we're now going to hear the little next bit of the story of what was happening in Nehemiah's time with our Bible reading from chapter 2.
Well, we're going to think about that passage in Nehemiah for a moment, but as we do, let me pray for us that God would speak to us by his word. Father God, thank you that you laid your hand, your gracious hand, on Nehemiah that he might know what he was to do for you. So I pray, Father, that we too would hear your word today, that we too would respond knowing what we're to do for Jesus, the one who is Lord of our lives and of the church. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, just imagine for a moment thinking, I'd like a poster to tell people about something that's coming up. And you look round and you see somebody that kind of does, that makes posters. Here it is. High quality posters are us. Well, I know some people are quite good at our church at making posters and designing things. Don't you think that? You look at it and just think, oh, I'd actually, no, maybe I wouldn't like a poster like that. It's not very good, is it? I mean, even I know that's not a great poster. What does that poster say about the people who make posters? Well, make these posters anyway. They're not very good. It's even got a lump of cheese on it. I don't even know why. It's not a very good poster, is it? Well, you see why Nehemiah was so sad about the state of Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was like a great big poster that said to the world, this is our God. But remember, Nehemiah heard what a state Jerusalem was in. Well, all the walls had been broken down. The gates had been burned with fire. It was like rubble everywhere. It was a right state. So instead of this being a poster that said to the world, how wonderful is our God, God's people were saying, actually, God is weak. God is rubbish. God's pathetic. The Lord God, he can't help his people. And Nehemiah was just devastated by that. It was a disgrace. And that disgrace, well, it said something about God. But God put it on Nehemiah's heart that even though God's people were in a bad state, well, God would do something. Nehemiah prayed and prayed. Remember, he prayed for 4 months. And then God started to act. The gracious hand of God was upon Nehemiah, we were told, and moved the king of the Persian Empire. Remember, they were the people in charge at that time. He moved the heart of the king to grant Nehemiah to go and rebuild the city. But Nehemiah didn't just want the walls rebuilt. He wanted the people rebuilt. He wanted them to trust God and to keep obeying their God. Well, God had answered Nehemiah's prayers, and so he was able to travel to Jerusalem. And as he went, he had a plan. His plan was to do, so put up the first slide, God's project. This wasn't Nehemiah's idea, God's project to rebuild the walls. Well, he's worked out his plan. All he has to do is recruit people to help with God's project. Nehemiah had got this great vision of what God wanted to do, this rebuilding project. All the gates would have to be rebuilt, the walls rebuilt, all the towers would be restored. And chapter 2, verse 12 says that God had put this on Nehemiah's heart to do it for Jerusalem. You see, God had moved and stirred and helped Nehemiah to do this. So he gathered together this great team of people who would share in this building project to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, a project that would involve everyone. So he gathered the leaders together. If you've got your Bibles open, look at verse 17. I'll read it. Nehemiah said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." So no longer will Jerusalem and its people shout to the nations around them, all the people around them, that God is weak and God is pathetic and God can't be trusted. No, God's people are going to be renewed. And then they will be able to show to the world how great their God is. Verse 18, "I also told them about the gracious hand of God upon me and what the king had said to me." So he could say to them, look, all that's happened. God's been answering my prayer. God is with us. This is God's project. Well, Nehemiah knew how important it was for God's people to start relying on God again, start trusting God, and therefore to start doing something about their God's city. God's city wouldn't be a disgrace for much longer. Look at all that God had done. And so the people heard this. They heard that this was God's project. How did they respond? At the end of verse 18, they replied, oh, it's too hard. I've got too much to do. No, that's not what they said. They said, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. See, they knew that this was what God wanted them to do. So they got on with it. They didn't sit around. They didn't wait. This was what God wanted, so they obeyed. And of course, God always wants his people to be willing to do what he says when they know what they're to do. They were willing, and so should we. Even when people think that it is pointless, or they even make fun of us. And that's what happened. So we need to meet these two people here. This is on my next slide. These three people were introduced to Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arab. Look, we're going to meet lots of names, and all of them are quite hard to kind of get off. It doesn't matter. These people, they weren't part of God's people. They weren't Jews. They weren't even from Jerusalem. But what did they say, verse 19? Well, when they heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. They mocked and ridiculed us. They went, ha, your God is a disgrace. You can't do that. Don't be silly. That's far too... It's too much work. Jerusalem's too broken. Don't waste your time. Well, look, sometimes when God... tells us that he wants us to be doing him, to be obeying him and to be loving him, sometimes we'll get laughed at for doing that, just like Nehemiah was. But Nehemiah knew that this was God's project. God's project, therefore he had to do it. God would enable them to do what he wanted them to do. He trusted God that, even though people made fun of them and laughed at them and ridiculed them. So Nehemiah knew what God's plan was, and so he got on with it. He trusted God, God's project to rebuild the walls. They knew what the big picture was. They just needed to get on and do it. And to help us think about that, I'm just going to hand over to Anna, who's going to show us some of the big pictures that you've been drawing this week too.
Brilliant. So this week we have asked 12 people in our church family to colour in a picture for us. We sent them a picture a little bit like this one. But what we said to them was that this picture is actually a section of a much bigger picture. But we didn't tell them what the bigger picture was. We asked them to guess what the big picture was and then to colour in their picture so that it would fit in with the rest of the big picture. And we're going to have a look now and find out how they got on with that. So we've got a little video so we can see what everybody did. Let's have a look. Well, didn't they do an amazing job of colouring in those pictures and trying to guess what they were making just a little section of? But it turns out, doesn't it, that it's quite hard to do. We've got here all of the amazing pictures that everybody did and coloured in. But if you don't know what the big picture is, it's really hard if you've only got one little section to work on. So if you think, for example, that you're working on an alien spaceship, well, what you're going to do is quite different to somebody who thinks that they're making a robot or somebody who thinks that they're making a summer holiday. It's really hard, isn't it, if you can't see the big picture to know what you're working on. It is hard to work together on a project if you all think that you are making different things. To really work together and for all of this to come together, everybody needs to know exactly what they're working on so that it all fits together perfectly. And Dave's going to help us think about how that fits in with the story of Nehemiah.
Well, thank you, Anna. So fabulous colouring in. It's absolutely brilliant to be able to see. The lobster thing down in the bottom corner, it's almost the same colour. Isn't that amazing? But anyway, well, God's, as I said, Nehemiah said to God's people, this is what God wants us to do. He's laid it on our heart. God's gracious hand has been with us. We're going to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem so it will be a safe place for God's people to be. And so he gathered together a great big team of people to work together. And that's what chapter 3 is about that we're going to look at now. Now, chapter 3 is a list of lots of names that are really quite hard to pronounce. Sarah doing the reading was just brilliant. I'm probably not going to do quite so well. But it was one project with lots and lots of different tasks. God's team working together, each doing their own little part of rebuilding. They were all working together, but each person was doing a different part of the wall. And as Nehemiah describes all that the people are doing, we see a wonderful picture of God's team, God's people working together to do God's work. Everyone had a different part to play, but each part was essential. Everybody got stuck in. They got going with this. And Nehemiah makes sure that everyone is valued. So he lists what everybody did. No one's forgotten. Everyone was included. Well, you think that Nehemiah would just recruit the people who were particularly good at building, the builders, the stonemasons, the people good at working with wood. You'd recruit all those people, wouldn't you? But no, this was a job for all of God's people. Everyone got stuck in. So he starts at chapter 3, verse 1, and he starts at the top of the city, and then he's going to work his way around the city walls, all the way around, describing what everybody did till he gets back to where he started. And that place where he starts and ends is the sheep gate. Now, the sheep gate didn't look like a sheep. I assume it was for the sheep to kind of come in and out. When the shepherds would bring their sheep into the city for food, the sheep gate. And we read verse 1, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. And they dedicated it and set its doors in place. Now, just think about that for a moment. These were the religious leaders, the high priest. It would be like the Archbishop of Canterbury leading this little team of other ministers and bishops and people, church leaders, to start rebuilding the wall. So you could just imagine, you know, they take off all their robes and either side, and they put on their dungarees and their hard hats, and they start building. They get their hands dirty. Well, Nehemiah carries on, verse 2, round the city. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah, and they laid its beams, and they put on its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also remade repairs. And all through this chapter, we're going to read of all these people, just like these groups of people. Sometimes they were people working by themselves. Sometimes they were groups of people. But they all worked next to each other all the way around, working together, God's teams. If you go through the chapter, I counted them, there are 40 teams. 40 teams of people working together. Isn't that amazing? Farmers, goldsmiths, and my particular favorite are the perfume makers. All sorts of different people, from the high priest down to the laborers, not just people from Jerusalem, but people from other places around, from Jericho, Tekoa, Beth Zur, and other places. They all came together, God's team, working together to do God's big project. So if you ask them, what are we doing? They'll say, we are rebuilding the walls. This is what God wants us to do. Young, old, sons, daughters, they each built their part, working together as one team for God's project, each doing their important part. Now look, can you see just for a moment how easily this could go wrong? Do you want to put my next slide up? How easily could go wrong? Let's just say for a moment that the sons of Hassaniah, they were building the fish gate in verse 2. Just imagine for a moment that they take a look at the gate that Meremoth is rebuilding. And, let me get this right. Nearly. Right, the sons of Hassa, they are rebuilding the fish gate. Okay, and they look at Meremoth, who's rebuilding the wall. And they think to themselves, wouldn't it just be easier if we built a wall? You know, no fancy bits. You know, we don't want to build a gate. It's too hard. There's too many fancy bits. Okay? So the sons of Hassana, they look at the wall that Meremoth's building and they decide, we're going to build a wall too. And slowly everyone kind of thinks, do you know what? It's just easier if we build a wall. And slowly around the city, everyone builds a wall because it's easier. But what do you end up with? You have a city that's all wall and no gates. How'd you get in? How'd you get out? You can't. Well, no, you can't look at what the next person was saying. I wish I was doing what they were doing. Or imagine a little bit further down the wall. You know, kind of, you know, there's Zadok, son of Bana, and he looks at the sheep gate and thinks, oh, my talent is being wasted just building a wall. I want to build a gate. Ah, well, what will happen? Well, you have a city of all gates and no walls. Imagine what that would be like. Well, like, it'd be really hard to keep people out if you needed to, because that's what a city wall's supposed to do. It's all gates and no walls. You see, everyone had to do their bit. Well, what happens? You think about the men of Tekoa in verse 5. You see, they've actually got a long bit of wall to be able to repair. Well, if they thought to themselves, do you know what? Nehemiah's got no right at all to tell us what we're to build. We each want to build what we want to build. I want to be able to express myself, put my own mark on this, to be able to do my own thing, be myself. And so what do they find? Well, if everyone builds what they want to build, you might end up with a city wall that looks like this. Well, it's not really a wall, is it? Certainly not any good at what it's supposed to do. Everyone just doing their own thing. You see, they're not acting as one team doing God's project. They're all doing their own thing. Everyone building what they please. So in God's team, we see that everyone has a part to play and that everyone works together to do what God wants. God's project, which is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Everyone playing their part. And it's important that we remember that too as God's team as well, isn't it? Because jealousy and competition, doing your own thing, it can ruin a church just as quickly as it can ruin a city wall. Are you willing to get on with God's work? Listen to what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's on the screen. He said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come or see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. And so the church in Philippi is to be God's team working together for God, doing what God wants for them to be doing. Not all doing the same thing, but all being part of the same team. But you see, there is a sadness in our reading, in this great description of the rebuilding of the city walls, of all that God's doing. It was there right at the end of verse 5. It was very sad because, as you see on the screen, not everyone wanted to join in. Not everyone wanted to join in. The end of verse 5. The nobles from the men of Tekoa, the nobles of Tekoa, they would not put their shoulders to work under their supervisors. You see, they didn't want to work. They didn't. Now, that idea is that it's not that they were too lazy, they were too proud. They thought that kind of being nobles, that they were too important to do this sort of work, like building. No, leave that to the common people. Not us nobles, we're too important. That's what they thought. And so they wouldn't get it. And they're the only people in the chapter, we're told, who didn't join in God's team. How sad was that? They didn't want to get mucky. They didn't want to serve others. They expected other people to do it for them. What about you? What about you? Are you willing to join in? Are you willing to be part of God's team, even if that means doing the sorts of jobs that you might not want to do? Or maybe even doing some of the jobs that you're not maybe as good at. Later on in our chapter, there's a great look, it's verse 13, of one guy, Hanun, with the residents of Zanoah. Verse 14. Malacha, the son of Rechab, who repaired the dung gate. The dung gate was where all the rubbish, all the stuff that you didn't really want in your house went through the dung gate and was tipped down into the valley. But he got on and repaired it. I bet that was a bit smelly. Well, you see, he was willing to be part of God's team, even if it meant doing the not very nice job. What about you? Are you ready to be part of God's team and to serve on God's team? Are you ready to say, I'm just ready to do what God needs me to do. I will love and obey and I will serve in God's team. You see, we might not be building walls, but we're building a church with Jesus. So are we willing to do that? Let me pray that we would. Father God, I pray that you would lay on our hearts how good it is to see what you want for us as your people and to be willing to work together as your team, one project with lots of different tasks involving lots of different people. And we pray that we would do this knowing that it is pleasing to you and it is a life worthy of Jesus. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Big thank you to everyone who's been involved in our service. About 40 people have worked to make the service as many teams as Nehemiah had rebuilding the walls. God's people working together, and of course not just those who are involved, but everyone who's been praying for us as well. Let's join together as God's team, each in our different way, serving God for him.
We're going to pray at the end. We're going to sing now, as we've just been reminded, God's team working together on God's project. Just one notice down on the service sheet, we need help for all these things we're doing out in the community and also things that we can do from home with others. So do look on the service sheet. We need help, people to sign up. So please do that. Contact Dave and Anna or Kate, myself, and we'll put you in touch together with the right people. Let's sing together. Hear the call of the kingdom. It's been a great service. Thank you to all those who worked so hard to put this together. It's very hard, isn't it, to work together on God's project unless we're meeting together in person. And we've obviously been meeting online while we've been in lockdown, but next week we can get back together, albeit in small numbers, socially distanced. So look out for the booking form that will come out by email. We hope to get as many people in together as we can. We obviously understand that some won't feel able to, and rightly, to meet together. But we're looking forward to that day when we can all get together, meeting together, working together on God's project. Let's end with a prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for the reminder that you have a great project, a great plan to call together people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven by him, indwelt by his Spirit, and you're going to bring them one day to the new creation. So, Father, please help us to work on this great project together of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, of encouraging each other to keep living for Christ and growing like Christ, with all that is involved in that as your people. Thank you that your Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Please, we pray this week, you'd help us to live and to speak and to act for Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.